And I'm going to be picking up on some of the conflict of interest issues that were raised by Nicholas this morning. But, well, as linguists, we're trained to document languages. But what should we document? And who are we documenting languages for? It's often the case that linguists are primarily writing for other linguists. And, for example, I attended the Australian Linguistic Society National Conference in Brisbane in 2006. Don't know whether Jeannie was there. I don't think so. And it seemed to me that whilst a lot of linguists were actually talking about Aboriginal languages and the results of their research, it seemed that not one Aboriginal person was actually there. Very, very few anyway. The writings of linguists are often largely inaccessible to speakers and custodians of the languages because they're written with a lot of technical jargon. And in Australia, very few speakers and custodians of Aboriginal languages, Jenny being one of the few, are trained in linguistics, although Jenny herself has tried to do something about that in Bachelor. Okay, well, I'm talking from experience working in Australian languages. So here they are, basically. Actually, a lot more than we can actually see on that map. Jeannie's already told us about the language situation in Australia. About 17 languages still being transmitted to children by normal means. And other languages still spoken fluently, the majority. We would say were lost, or many would say were extinct. And I happen to be working with one of those so-called extinct or so-called sleeping languages in Adelaide. If you can move on. Okay, well, current practice focuses very much on documenting form and ignoring or downplaying, often ignoring totally, the documentation of language functions. As we discussed earlier, current practice is driven by preoccupation with historical linguistics or with language typology. The focus too is, if we keep going there, is on some kind of pure, unadulterated pre-contact language. In our documentation of Indigenous languages, linguists are not usually particularly interested in the kind of language which might happen in a community council meeting or in a health centre or a court of law or any other sort of non-traditional domain. Rather, the kind of texts which are included in language descriptions are often dreaming narratives or myths or maybe an autobiography or perhaps initial contact story, maybe some description of how to make a fish trap or something like that. They're usually narratives. We don't get conversations being recorded usually, except if they happen to come up within the context of a dreaming narrative or something. They're usually one way, not conversations. And Bob Dixon, I guess, has trained many of us in linguistics in Australia. He has a kind of cookbook formula that he has taught us for the documentation of languages. Many of us based our work on, say, his work on Djerbal and Yidin in northeast Queensland. But looking through this, this description of Djerbal, if this is all we had on which to revive Djerbal language at some time in the future, I think the exercise would be very difficult indeed. It would be very easy to know how to say the man hit the woman hit the man, okay, the child saw the man hit the woman, or something like that. But I don't think in this book we will find a greeting. I don't think we will find a farewell. I don't think we'll know how to apologise to someone or how to pay a compliment to someone. If it is there, you'd find it difficult to find because it would only come up because it would be illustrating some grammatical point. there would be no sort of way into it without reading the whole lot. Jeannie mentioned the learner's guides, which are being produced in Central Australia these days. And the learner's guides go some way towards addressing the kind of issues I'm raising here now. In those learner's guides, there is a chapter which covers some of the basic language functions, greetings, for instance, and leave takings. But those learner's guides themselves are still largely grammar-driven. And they're not written with language documentation in mind. I don't think we would normally regard them. They're a spin-off, I guess, of language documentation. And the main motivation in writing them has been for white fellas like me to learn those languages, people who are working in communities, working in service industries, what have you. But those learner's guides themselves perhaps provide some useful models for what maybe we should be including in our language descriptions. Well, to the title of my talk, Revival of Sleeping Languages, Phoenix or Relic. And I guess if we're talking about language revival, we need to have a think about, well, what is it that we're reviving? What kind of a language? Is language revival bringing back a static, unchanging relic, more knowledge about a language? Or is it going to be a dynamic entity that incorporates concepts, new concepts, and adapts to change circumstances, as any other language does, a regular spoken language, something quite different to just learning about a language? I hear from some Aboriginal people from neighbouring groups to the group that I work with that they really, well, what's this word for computer, mukundu? We didn't have computers. And so there are some Aboriginal people who are operating on a kind of relic view of language themselves. Not the people I work with. The people I work with very much want a language which deals with the here and now. And if that means talking about computers, it means talking about computers. What should we be documenting? Well, I maintain that we should keep doing what we're doing. We should do all the stuff that Bob Dixon advocates. We should have a good phonology there. We should know what the phonemes are and the allophones and how they operate. We should know what the morphology, what the syntax is. But in addition to that, we should expand on our current basic documentation of languages. Now, ideally, we should document language in use in all aspects of life. But as Nicholas sort of raised before, we have limited funding, we have limited time, we have limited personnel to undertake these tasks, so it comes down to establishing a set of priorities. And the priorities to date have been form, not function. I think we should, if we do have the language revitalisation in mind, we need to rethink that, and we need to at least include some description of basic language function. Of course, if we want to document language function, it's really unlimited. And I guess ethnographers have been documenting some language functions for years, but they've